That's chapter 1. And it's quite simple English, isn't it? It's not complicated to grasp what James is trying to say. So I want to just break it down, I guess, to themes, just this week. There's a lot there that will lead on to chapters 2 and 3 in future weeks. So let's have a look at themes. Number 1, trials have purpose and often bring humility and simplicity. If your riches are taken, be assured or reassured that your sacrifice is for God and you are blessed. Did you hear that as I read it out? The context, again, written to people who are not having an easy time. They don't have gatherings yet. They're just scattered believers. The second theme, know that worldly temptations will come, not from God, to go back and forget this faith. Hang on a second, does that make sense? Know that worldly temptations will come, not from God. Does it make sense? To go back and forget this faith. Sorry, thank you. I was thinking, I still couldn't get past the brackets. Okay, know that worldly temptations will come to go back and forget this faith. That's better if I take the brackets out, isn't it? Okay, that's fine. Did you hear that? That's important. So he's not pretending everything is going to be straightforward. You will have temptations to go back and forget your faith in Christ. And then another theme, ask God, for he gives wisdom and all good gifts. Don't get angry, as it doesn't set you up right. So be careful in your anger. Be active in getting rid of moral filth. Sounds dramatic, doesn't it, that? And evil in your life. Here's the famous one. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. And finally, be practical. Look after those in need and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. That's a lot in just a couple of verses. And I think, tell me if you think I'm wrong, I think that the message that James brings, even though we have an established church, whether you call it the Church of England, whether you call it denominations, whether you call it a building that we gather in, or we are the church, all those definitions are right and appropriate. But I think that we need this message just as much as the scattered Christians did thousands of years ago. I think that people do get hassle because of their faith. And sometimes we speak up and we get criticized. Sometimes we speak up and we might even lose the promotion at work. Sometimes we speak up and we lose our friends. And I'm putting that in inverted commas because maybe they weren't such a friendly kind of person in the first place if they tell us that they don't want to be our friend if they don't agree with what we believe in. And actually, Christians, not just in the UK but all over the world, we have that word, don't we? Persecution. And we really don't know what some people have to endure because they're bold enough to say, I believe in Jesus. But I think we need the practical advice and guidance now more than ever in our lives, busy, chaotic, crazy lives with all sorts of temptations and stresses and expectations coming from all directions. That's why we're looking at James. I want to show you the first of probably many pictures from my new house. Picture number 1, my fire. Now, Simon and Vanessa have been superb at teaching me how to light a fire. Thank you, guys. And we have now lit about, 4 or 5. It's very exciting. Many of you have enjoyed your fires, by the way, for many years, and you're thinking, why is he going on about? It's novelty factor for me, okay? It's novelty. Now, this is the fire this morning. I woke up and decided to light the fire because the dog was hogging the other fire. Anyway, so I lit the fire. And I actually thought, as I was lighting it, my memory went back to my secondary school days, a long time ago, when I was thinking, what does this fire need to succeed or to burn? What are the 3 things? Come on, scientists. What are the 3 things?
Oxygen.
Fuel and heat. Very good. It needs oxygen, fuel and heat. I wonder if we as Christians need things for us to, not burn is not the right word, but for us to shine, for us to be functional, for us to be productive. And I wonder if what those things would be some of the things that James just outlined in the beginning of his book. Let me give you some thoughts, okay? And Matt, you'll appreciate this in a minute, because the letters are really good letters. Number one, I think James says that our faith needs perspective on difficulty. Perspective. Not pretending that it's not there, but having a view, as he said to the readers, actually trials come, but there is maturity that can come in resisting the temptation to run away necessarily. I'm not saying we look for trials, that's not what I'm saying, but when life throws things at you, actually know your faith can be built. God is with you. You can be reassured that actually, even if you have inconvenience, even if your money is taken away, because that can happen very quickly and very easily. Actually, be blessed. Know that you are blessed. Know that you are God's. That is the perspective on difficulty. Then he talked about resistance to temptation. Did you hear that in the passage? Resist that moral filth. It's such a funny phrase. I'm even finding myself smiling when I say it. It sounds so dramatic. But actually, do you know what? Without being horrible, there's a lot of really questionable stuff in society. Questionable messages that get broadcast on the TV or the radio or what you might read online or whatever other input you put into your brain. As I work with young people, I tell you I'm horrified at the stuff that they consume. So resistance to temptation is what James said. Then, the big famous bit, action, not just words. And I say the big famous bit, but that verse is actually quoted, if you look online into all these Bible studies about the book of James, as I was looking at this week, they say the key verse of James is, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And that is an encouragement to get off your buttocks and do something. Now, that doesn't mean you're not doing something if you were a calm, quiet person. Please don't think you've got to all have a megaphone. That's not it. But actually, our faith needs to go from our thought process to our hands and our feet and our lips. And John's message last week about remembrance, the act of remembrance, where it cannot just be I've thought about my wedding anniversary and therefore I've remembered it, but my wife or my husband needs to have action to demonstrate that you've remembered it, just as action is needed there. James says action is needed in your faith life too. So don't be afraid to turn your thoughts and your knowledge and your faith in Jesus into doing something. And he talked about helping people as a very practical way that you can do that. Now, Matt, P-R-A. I had to add an extra one because it spells out pray, but there isn't one in the book, so this is a Steveism, okay? Yes, indeedy. So that is my addition, just for the benefit to make it spell the word pray, okay? But let's go back to it. So James says our faith needs perspective on difficult circumstances and situations. Resistance to temptation. Action, and not just talk or words. Yes, indeedy. Okay. Let's finish off by looking at the starting slide again, Matt. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Who is this character that I've also put there? Spock, Mr. Spock. He's doing the Vulcan, whatever this is called. I can't do it. Hang on a minute. Let me get my fingers in the right place. Is it like that? No. Oh, hang on a minute. I can normally do that. That's better, isn't it? Vulcan. What is it? What is it?
It's just a greeting.
It's a greeting. Okay. Yes, I know. It's live long and prosper. That's what I want to say. Live long and prosper is the Vulcan greeting, and you do the kind of Vulcan salute thing. Actually, isn't James saying in his book, live long and prosper? He wants our faith to grow, to prosper, to influence our life. So it isn't such a daft thing to look at the slightly Star Trek-y theme of life, Jim, but not as we know it, and actually finish with that sentiment. James wants us to prosper. He wants us to be blessed, even if life is tough. He wants us to help people, because that's what faith requires. But actually, that symbol, which I'm struggling to do, but that symbol, what is our symbol of greeting that says this underpins everything we do? As Christians, what's our symbol? It's not anything you do with your hand, is it? Isn't it the cross? Isn't it all based on and rooted in the cross? Even though James hasn't been explicit about, he hasn't used the word because Jesus or death or resurrection, because he is, first of all, speaking to people who've already got that under their belt. Their life is already based on the gospel, on the cross. But how do we live life? We do it by resisting temptation, having a right perspective, a godly perspective, and having action. Yes, indeedy. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have writers like James who wrote down such practical guidance that we can live our life by. Thank you that over these next few weeks we'll be unpacking the advice, the wisdom, the counsel, the instructions for us to live a life full of faith. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to each of us, not only about this introduction, but as we go through the next few weeks, just speak to us through this amazing book by one of your family members, literally. So, Father, be with us and help us to be reflective of how much faith we have in our lives and how are we doing with our actions and our resistance and our persistence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.